Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
It's very easy. It's very easy to get distracted in this whole process of life, isn't it? It's very easy to get confused and to kind of manipulate things, and especially when it comes to sacrifices, which is what we're talking about this month. It's the sacrifices of the Old Testament. It's very easy to get confused in all those rituals and traditions, and sometimes we approach sacrifices in the church as this idea that it's some sort of transaction in order to get something. I know for me, there have been times in my life when I have sinned, and so then the next day I was like, well, I'm gonna pray more today, or I'm gonna fast and pray today because of the sin that I committed yesterday, and somehow that's gonna make up for the sin that I've committed. And sometimes that kind of transactional mentality has actually crossed into other areas of my life where, for example, I might be a little extra nice to my wife, Heidi, in the hopes that she will then be game to go get ice cream. And sometimes it works. But usually not. And I think all of us can probably relate to that in some way, shape, or form of this kind of transactional sacrifice thing where something bad happens, and so all of a sudden now you're really committed to God because He's the only way to get through it. And normally you're not paying attention to Him, but something's gone wrong, and so you're like, oh, God, if you get me through this, I'm going to be really, really good about going to church. Or, oh man, I really want this job, and so I'm going to make sure that I'm tithing or something. Or I'm going to give a big donation, and that sacrifice is going to help get God on my side. Or I'm going to work at being really, really good, and I'm not going to give in to my addiction. I'm not going to give in to that temptation this week because of this thing that's coming up, this job interview that's coming up, or this thing that is happening with my family. And so I'm gonna be really good so I can get something good from God. But that doesn't quite sit right, does it? That transactional thing doesn't quite jive, and I think it makes us feel a little bit uneasy because it makes it into like God is some version of spiritual Amazon. If you pay enough, then you get the thing, and if you pay a little bit extra, you get it quicker. But it doesn't. And you guys know this because of the meaningful relationships in your life. Some of you have learned this the hard way. Some of you just know this. Some of you are dealing with situations in your life where you have lost people and there is no amount of money that you could give, or that there's no amount of money that is too much that you'd be willing to give to get that person back, to get that relationship back, to get that time back. It's not about a transaction thing. It's about if you could just have them back for a day, if you could just have another moment with them, if you could just get back to the way things were in that relationship, and that relationship would go back to the way it was and healed, you would be willing to give up everything to get that person, to be with them. It's not about getting something from them. It's about being with them. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? There are people in your lives There are friends, there's family, your kids, your grandkids, your parents. There are people in your lives that it's not about, okay, I'm going to be nice to them so that they can buy me a nice present, or I'm going to do this so they give something to me. It's simply about you want to be with them and you are willing to do whatever it takes to be with them. In Leviticus, one of the offerings that's talked about is called the fellowship offering, the Korban Shlomim. And depending on how you translate the word, it basically means the offering, the sacrifice of alliance, the sacrifice of peace, the sacrifice of fellowship. And in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 15, it gives some details. It talks about it in Leviticus chapter 3 and 7, but I just want to highlight a few of the details here. In chapter 7, verse 15, it says, "The meat of the fellowship offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it is offered. They must leave none of it till morning. If, however, their offering is the result of a vow or is a free will offering, the sacrifice shall be eaten on the day they offer it, but anything left over may be eaten on the next day. Any meat of the sacrifice left over till the third day must be burned. If any meat of the fellowship offering is eaten on the third day, the one who offered it will not be accepted. It will not be reckoned to the credit, for it has become impure. The person who eats any of it will be held responsible." And beside that, there are a few other details about the offering that make it a little bit unique compared to the other ones. It had to be a male or female. You had to burn all the fat. You were supposed to save the breast and the right thigh for the priest. You couldn't be unclean and offer this sacrifice. You had to be ceremonially clean in order to offer the sacrifice of fellowship. And you had to eat it on that day or the next day. Now, what is all that about? What does that have to do with peace? And what does that have to do with the sacrificial system? And what is all this about? Well, I think this is the point. I think the point is, and it's highlighted by the fact that you have to eat it right away. You can't leave it. And that you have to be clean already in order to offer it. I believe that this sacrifice highlights that you were made clean to be with God. You were made clean to be with God. And it highlights the present tense. This isn't something where, okay, we're going to go and we're going to sacrifice this thing, this animal, this pure animal, we're not going to sacrifice this thing and give it to the priest, and then we're going to go away and we're going to have our meat that we'll cure and we'll salt and we'll have meat for a month. Or something where I'm going to go and I'm going to absolve myself of sin and I'm going to make myself clean. No, because you couldn't save it and you couldn't sacrifice it if you were unclean. This wasn't about getting rid of sin. It wasn't about making up for your failure. It wasn't about getting groceries. It wasn't about resolving issues. It was about being with God in the moment. I think this sacrifice is supposed to be this reminder and this moment of the Garden of Eden, to bring us back to that place that God intended us to be, where we're with Him. Not you give something to God so that you get something out of it. Not you give something to God and so he forgives you. Not you give something to God and he answers your prayer. But simply to be with God in the present tense. Not the future, not the past, right now. Some of you know this story, but Heidi, I'll tell it anyways. Heidi was engaged to somebody else before we got engaged. And they had been having some arguments and some disputes, and things were coming down to that critical point. And turns out my parents and my church were praying that it would get to that critical point. I didn't know about that, but they were. And they got to this critical point, and she was like, listen, if we're not going to fix these things, I don't think we're going to get married. And so this guy drove up from his home in the U.S., drove up to her house to visit her and to talk and figure this out. And then, so he gets there. Her whole family's there for the Christmas gathering. He shows up, and he's having this conversation with Heidi. And Heidi just says it again. We need to work on this, this, and this. If we're not going to work on those things, then we're done. And the bonehead, says, well, I don't think we need to work on those things. So she said, okay, we're done. Now, this is the real good part, okay? They have this conversation, and it turns into a snowstorm. There's a snowstorm. They have just broken off their engagement. It's a snowstorm. He's surrounded by her family, and he can't go anywhere. So he storm stayed with them for like 2 or 3 days. And do you know what he does? He spends the next 2 or 3 days trying to get her back. No. He doesn't. Again, the bonehead. He doesn't spend the next 2 or 3 days trying to get her back, trying to figure things out, trying to make things the way that they should be, working on them, having that conversation, being introspective and thinking, how do I get this person back? How do I get to be with Heidi? He sits in the living room and plays with his camera. And when the snowstorm lifts, he leaves. Couple weeks later, I swoop in, I save the day, and we were married in August. He missed the point of being with her. I didn't. You know, there's another story in Luke chapter 15. There's a very well-known parable that Jesus tells, sometimes called the prodigal son. And we think the prodigal, I made the assumption a long time ago that prodigal meant the wayward or the one that runs away or the one that's far off. And that's not what prodigal means. Prodigal, the word prodigal, means wasteful. That parable is about the wasteful son. The son that looks at his dad and says, Dad, I would rather have your stuff than to have you in my life. Please treat me as if you are dead and give me my inheritance. I would rather have the stuff you're going to leave behind when you're dead. I'd rather have that now than to have you in my life. And only after he is gone and wasted everything does he realize the value of actually being with his father. We have this sacrifice that was given very early on in the journey of the Israelite people that said, this is not about being made right with God. This is not about getting something from God. This is not about correcting your sins or making you go to heaven. This sacrifice, this thing is simply about you giving up something so that you can, in the moment, be with God, like in the Garden of Eden. We, for many years in the church, have made Christianity into this sort of transactional religion that says, if you do A, B, and C, you are forgiven of your sins, and you get to go to heaven forever, and you get to avoid hell. But this sacrifice, the sacrifice, the fellowship sacrifice, the offering of peace, tells me that in fact, it's not about getting something from God. He makes us clean so that we can be with Him. So what are we supposed to do about that? I believe that we, as individuals and as a church, need to remember the value of being with our Father. Not sitting looking at our camera, not trying to be good to God so that we get something in return, but we remember Him and we want to be with Him so much that we are willing to give up whatever it takes for another moment with Him. Where if there's something in the way between us, maybe there's something that we argued about and you've got to surrender to God. Maybe it's money, maybe it's a hobby, maybe it's a dream, maybe it's an addiction and you've been holding on to and you know that thing is getting between you and God. It's not about, well, if I don't give up this thing, then I go to hell. But it's this, if I don't give up this thing, then I'm not going to be with Him. I'm missing out on time with Him. I'm missing out in that moment where I get to feel His presence, know Him, and He knows me, and feel Him close. I've got to get rid of that thing. I've got to start tithing. I've got to start giving. I've got to change my job. I've got to go. I've got to go to our recovery program on Tuesday nights, the Olive Branch, and I've got to start working on those things that I'm addicted to. I've got to surrender those things. I've got to go and I've got to offer up forgiveness to this person that hurt me a long time ago. I've got to ask forgiveness from this person that I hurt a long time ago. I've got to fix my marriage. I've got to change how I deal with my kids because all this bitterness and all this hatred and all this fighting is getting in the way between me and God, and I just want to be with Him. It means that we got to look at our schedules, and we got to look at things, and we got to stop wondering, how do I fit God into this? And we got to start making Him a priority and saying, no, my priority is going to be with God. And I figure out if I can fit the other things in around that. Some of you here have experienced the presence of God, and you know what it feels like to be with Him. You need to remember that. You need to remember that. And you've got to let that drive the decisions you make in your life. And there are some of you here who have never felt that before, or you felt it, but it's been so long and so much has happened in your life that you've forgotten what it feels like. I've been open about my journey over the past couple years and about how I, when Lily was born, I was wrestling hard with anxiety, and I had to get some help, and I had to go to a counselor, and I had to get some medication, and I had to figure that stuff out. One of the key pieces about the counseling and the sabbatical and the medication and all that was getting back to the place where I remembered what it felt like to be with God. and being able to feel him has changed everything. That's not philosophical, Evan. That's not just me reading out of the Bible and just saying things. This is me, your pastor, saying the thing that has made such a wild difference in my life in the past year and a half has been being able to feel his presence again and be with him. It changes how I deal with the kids. It changes how I deal with my marriage. It changes how I deal with finances. It changes what I'm anxious about and not anxious about. It has changed so much. And we as a people need to be willing to give up, to sacrifice whatever it is that he wants. Not so that we get something later. Not so that we can fix something in the past. But so that we can be with God. The worship team's going to come up. And we're going to spend some more time worshiping in song. And I want us to focus in not on just singing the song, not just on doing the church thing. I want each and every one of you praying in your seats, God, I want to be with you. Help me to feel you now, present tense. Maybe you're here and you're like, I don't know if I will ever feel it. Maybe I've never felt it. I don't know if I believe it. I still want you here, opening yourself up to the idea, to the option, to the possibility, and seek him and ask him to make you aware of his presence. Because I believe that God is here already. We're not asking God to come here. He's here already. What we're asking God is to open us up to be aware of him, to be in fellowship with him, to be in peace and alliance with him. Because you have been made clean to be with God.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.